But it isn't. It wasn't the case with Jesus. It wasn't the case with Paul. And it wasn't the case with Abraham. God told Abraham to look up at the stars and count them. And with the unaided eye, if you have good vision on a clear night, you could see about 2,000 stars. And Abraham couldn't count them all. And God promised Abraham, he said, you're going to have that many children. You're going to have children as the stars in multitude, and all this land is going to belong to you. That's the promise, Abrahamic covenant. Well, here Abraham is at the end of his life. He's in his 90s, pushing 100. His wife is barren, and the only property he owns is a tomb in Mamre. You know, it's like, I thought I was going to have all these children. I thought that we were going to inherit this land. All he owns is a tomb. And his wife, she's well beyond having children. And then the angel visits. Angel of the Lord visits him in Mamre and says that his wife is going to conceive and bear a son, and she looks at the angel and laughs. Well, she looked at Abraham first, and then she laughed. And God said, why did you laugh? And then she said, I didn't laugh. Now, if you're going to lie, don't lie straight to God. And he said, oh, but you did laugh. Okay, now, she's in her 90s. She has a baby and names him Giggles. Well, laughter, Yitzhak, all right? I'm not making this stuff up. She had a baby and named him Laughter. Well, okay, but that's just one son. And when then they had this other son through this scheme with Hagar. His name was Ishmael. But he's not in the picture right now. So we've got the son of promise. We got Isaac. Well, he gets married to Rebekah, and she has twins. And, you know, you got to love sibling rivalry. These kids were duking it out in the womb. Okay? And it's Esau and it's Jacob. And Jacob, we have been studying about that a long time ago, before the holidays. We were studying about how that they were scheming, and Jacob kind of got the inheritance. And Esau, last we saw him, he wanted to kill Jacob. Well, Jacob got out of Dodge. He fled all the way up to Paddan Aram. He's up there in a town called Haran. Now, when Abraham had left Ur of the Chaldees and he was headed toward the Promised Land, he stopped in Haran. That's where his father had died. It's not even the land that God had promised to them, and it's way up there. And so he goes up to Haran, and he gets hired on by Uncle Laban. Have you ever been in a bad job situation? Huh? Well, see, this is the guy that's supposed to have this big family because all the promises are resting on him, okay? Well, his prospects look terrible. He's working for a guy who cut his salary 10 times. He made him work 7 years so that Jacob could marry ewe lamb. And then at the last moment, he switched her out with wild cow, Leah. Okay? And she was kind of squinty-eyed. And he wakes up on his honeymoon the next morning, and it was wild cow. Goes to Laban, what have you done to me? He worked 7 years for this. And Laban said, well, if you'll work another 7 years, we just don't do it that way in this country. And so he winds up with two wives. Well, he loves you, lamb. He's not too fond of wild cow. Well, God has mercy on wild cow. She starts having children like nobody's business. She has like all these sons, and then her handmaid has a couple, and they're up to six. And ewe lamb, she hadn't had any children at all. Well, we're taken up in Genesis chapter 30. All right? Jacob is having children by a wild cow. They're envious of one another. And so they do some scheming and everything. In chapter 30, he winds up with six children. We've got not just through Leah, but also through her handmaiden. And even Rachel has a son named Joseph. So we've got, by the time we get halfway through chapter 30, we've got six more children. He's got 11 sons and one daughter. Benjamin hadn't been born yet. But even Rachel has a son named Joseph. Okay? So he's got 11 sons and one daughter. But he's in a terrible work situation. Well, Laban, he's negotiating, you know, for pay and everything. So Jacob comes up with this idea. He says, I tell you what, Laban, I'll take the black sheep and the spotted goats. Laban doesn't have a problem with that. Black sheep and spotted goats, rare as hen's teeth. That's an old expression, meaning this ain't going to happen. We would say scientifically that those are recessive genes. Okay, so Laban goes along with that. He wants as his pay, he wants to start some flocks of his own. He wants black sheep and spotted goats. Well, they only turn up once in a blue moon. And so Laban's fine with that. And he puts them off by themselves. So not only are they recessive genes, they're going to be interbreeding. And that flock is going to get weaker and weaker and weaker. See, Laban is taking advantage of Jacob. Jacob's running the place, and God is blessing Laban for Jacob's sake. Well, Jacob comes up with this idea. He takes these sticks and he strips them so that they've got light and dark sections on the stick, and he puts them at their feeding troughs. And when Laban's sheep and goats are feeding, they're exposed to these strips, okay? Now, Jacob thinks this is working, but what's really working is God's working, all right? So Laban's healthy sheep and healthy goats are having these babies that are healthy, and they're black sheep and they're spotted goats. So we got to put them over in Jacob's group. So guess what's happening? It's not too long, and Jacob's group is healthier and stronger than Laban's. Now, it's not because of those sticks, all right? It's because God is blessing him. So Jacob finally gets to the point where he's had it with Laban. He's cut his salary 10 times. He's reneged on promises. I mean, he's just in a bad situation. So Jacob is going to take his flocks, which by this time are very strong, very numerous, and he's going to take his family and his servants, and he's going to leave. But he's not going to tell Laban. He's going to leave. Well, that's not done in those parts. You have to have these formal going away ceremonies. They had very elaborate greetings and very elaborate farewells that they expect to have. Laban wanted to take more advantage of him and get him to sign up for another stint. And he knows this, so he just leaves. So he's having to travel with children, with wives, with sheep, with goats, with servants. He's got a huge company, and they're headed back down to the Holy Land. And then here comes Laban and his men. Okay? And so there's going to be a confrontation. But Laban's had a dream, and God Almighty told Laban, don't you say anything to him for good or ill. In other words, hands off. Okay? Scared him to death. And so he is going to have this confrontation with Jacob. Now, here's the problem. Jacob's got to leave that country, and he's got to enter a country, and guess who's in charge of the country he's going into? Esau. And the last time we saw Esau, what did he want to do? He wanted to off Jacob. So he's going to have to pass through Esau's territory. All right? And Esau's wanting to kill him. Whoever said that the life of faith was easy? It sure doesn't look easy. Okay? So here we go. We're at... We're chapter 31, and starting, I'm going to start in chapter 31, verse 36. And this is where Jacob finally just unburdens his heart. He's telling Laban, he's telling Laban a piece of his mind. And he says, Jacob was angry and rebuked Laban. Now, this is being done publicly. He said to Laban, what is my trespass? What is my sin that you have so hotly pursued me? Although you have searched all my things, what part of your household things have you found? Laban's accusing him of stealing something, the household gods, which Rachel actually stole, and she's sitting on them. Set it here before my brethren and your brethren that they may judge between us both. All right? If you got any hard evidence, you trot it out. Put it here. And let all these people judge between us. These 20 years I have been with you, your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried their young, and I have not eaten the rams of your flock. I didn't take advantage of you. That which was torn by beasts, I did not bring to you. In other words, God had protected the flock. I bore the loss of it. You required it from my hand, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. In other words, I made it good. I have acted in good faith. There I was. In the day, the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and the sleep departed from my eyes. You think you had a rough week at work. Thus I have been in your house 20 years. I served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flock. That's the black sheep and the spotted goats we were talking about. And you've changed my wages 10 times. I've done all this good stuff. And what did you do? He cut his salary 10 times and didn't tell him. Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac. Now, he's calling God the fear of Isaac. That's interesting. Had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. Laban, you would have robbed me, and I wouldn't have anything if it hadn't been for God. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night. He knows about this dream. And Laban, now this is point one, Laban's covenant with Jacob. Laban answered and said to Jacob, these daughters are my daughters. These children are my children. And this flock is my flock. Huh? Did you pick up on that? All that you see is mine. But what can I do this day to these my daughters or to their children whom they have born? Actually, the daughters want to get away from him too. They want to go with Jacob, both of them. That's the first thing they've ever agreed on. Now, therefore, come, let us make a covenant, you and I, and let it be a witness between you and me. So Jacob took a stone and set it up to be a pillar. Then Jacob said to his brethren, gather stones. And they took stones and made a heap, and they ate there on a heap. Now, in the Near East, back then and now too, if you eat with somebody in a common meal, that's a nice thing, all right? Because you're sharing bread together. If you can get enemies to sit down at a table together and eat together, you've done something, all right? So they've made this memorial heap of stones, and they're eating there. Laban called it Yegar Sahadutha, which is Aramaic for heap of witness. But Jacob called it Galid. That's Hebrew for heap of witness. Galid would later be Gilead. All right? So they're calling it, Laban speaking Aramaic, Jacob names it Hebrew. But both of those say the same thing. Heap of witness, all right? And Laban said, this heap is a witness between you and me this day. Therefore, its name was called Galid, heap of witness. Also, Mitzpah. Have you ever seen a Mitzpah coin? It's a coin, and it has an inscription on it, and the thing is cut down the middle. And if you want to make a pledge to somebody, you give him half the coin, you got half the coin. And so when you come back together, the promise that you made will be kept. It's called a mitzvah coin. You can actually buy these things. The Jews produce them. You Google it. All right? And mitzvah means watch. This heap of stones is going to watch between you and me. And the idea is Jacob's men will not cross that stone to attack Laban's men, and Laban's men will not cross that stone to attack Jacob's. So what would we call this? Peace treaty. Okay, he's making a peace treaty. Remember, Jacob is going to have this great family, and they're going to spread out, and he needs friends to the north. He doesn't need hostile armies attacking him. Okay, so this is actually foreseeing a time when Jacob will be great and he's going to have peace on his northern border. You following it? All right. And Galid later is called Gilead. May the Lord watch between you and me when we are absent from one another. If you afflict my daughters, or if you take other wives besides my daughters, although no man is with us. See, God is witness between you and me. Basically, Laban's saying, you better treat my daughters right. Okay. Then Laban said to Jacob, here's this heap, and here's this pillar, which I place between you and me. This heap is a witness, and this pillar is a witness, that I will not pass beyond this heap to you, and you will not pass beyond this heap and this pillar to me to do harm. The God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge between us. And Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered a sacrifice on the mountain and called his brethren to eat bread. And they ate bread and stayed all night on the mountain. Early in the morning, Laban arose, kissed his sons and daughters, and blessed them. Now this is a proper going away ceremony. And then Laban departed and returned to his place. So, what has happened? Jacob has freed himself from the tentacles of Laban. He's gotten away. Okay? What's the problem now? He's got to go through Esau country. Well, what's he going to do? Jacob comes up with this plan. He's got all these flocks and herds. He's going to take some choice goats and sheep female and male, and give him a Great Flock starter kit. All right? And he's going to have a Great Herd starter kit and a Great Flock starter kit in case Esau has dropped the ball and doesn't have much to speak of. See, in those days, your wealth, your prosperity was gauged by how many flocks and how many herds you had and how many sons and daughters you had too. All right? So Jacob has done quite well, but now he's afraid that he's going to get attacked by Esau. Esau's going to kill his men, take his wives and daughters as slaves, and take all the flocks. And then it's like back to go. So Jacob divides his group into two companies. Each company has some gifts for Lord Esau. All right? Now, Jacob is way in the back. He's traveling with his wives and his sons, and he's very vulnerable. So his thinking is, if Esau's men attack one company, what will the other company do? They'll get away. If Esau's men attack that company, the other company gets away. So either way, he's going to save half of his people. All right? He's in the back. And it's kind, you know, he doesn't have anyone guarding him. And so he's very vulnerable. Now, what's happening, people? Jacob, trickster, is getting to the point, God is putting him situations where he has got to trust God for everything. He's got to trust God. And see, what is being forged is Abraham and Isaac, the covenant is being renewed with Jacob, but Jacob had to trust God as his God, not just the God of his father. All right? So Jacob is learning to trust God personally. Okay? And this has to happen. All right, so here we are. We're entering the land. And this is where Esau is, and Esau wants to kill him. All right, point two, Esau comes to meet Jacob. So Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. There's an angelic protection. And when Jacob saw him, he said, "This is God's camp." Well, he's got a camp, and the angels have a camp. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim, which means double camp. Then Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Speak thus to my lord Esau. Thus your servant Jacob says, I have dwelt with Laban and stayed there until now." It's been 20 years. "I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, male and female servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find favor in your sight." Then the messengers returned to Jacob, said, "We came to your brother Esau, and he also is coming to meet you. And 400 men are with him." Uh-oh. He's got an army. 400 men, all right? And they're not tossing flowers and bouquets either. So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided the people that were with him, the flocks, herds, and camels, into two companies. And he said, "Okay, if Esau comes to the one company and attacks it, the other company which is left will escape. So I'm going to save half my group that way." Then Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, 'Return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you,' I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of the truth which you have shown your servant." You see how he's matured? "I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, for the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. For you said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. What covenant is that? That's the Abrahamic covenant. Does God keep his covenants? Yes. So he lodged there that same night, and he took what came to his hand as a present for Esau, his brother. All right, this is the present. 200 female goats and 20 male goats. All right? And those goats are spotted, and they're very healthy. 200 ewes and 20 rams. 30 milk camels with their colts. 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 foals. Then he delivered them to the hand of his servants, every drove by itself, and said, pass over before me and put some distance between successive droves. They're gonna wear Esau down with kindness. But wait, there's more. And he commanded the first one, saying, when Esau, my brother, meets you and asks you, saying, to whom do you belong and where are you going? Whose are these in front of you? And then you shall say, they are your servant Jacob's. It is also to my lord Esau. And behold, he is also behind us. So he commanded the second, the third, and all who followed the drove, saying, in this manner you shall speak to Esau when you find him. And also say, behold, your servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goes before me, and afterwards I will see his face. Perhaps he will accept me. Well, it's all up to Esau. Esau could take the presents and then kill everybody. We don't know what he's going to do. So the present went over before him, but he himself lodged that night in the camp. All right, now here he is. He's got these presents going down toward Esau, and he's there with his loved ones, and he's by himself. He's lodging in the camp. Point three, wrestling with God. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. There was somebody there, and Jacob was wrestling with him. Who was it? Well, he says it's God later. This would have to be a pre-incarnate Jesus. Okay, so he's wrestling with God. Do you know that the word Israel could, we don't know what exactly it means, but it could be translated, he who wrestles with God or prince with God. We're not sure, but he's wrestling with God.
Question.
Yeah. Well, Jacob wants God to bless him. And by the way, Jacob gets the upper hand in this wrestling contest. And he wants him to tell him his name. He doesn't, but he blesses him. He also throws his hip out. So, God, look, he can touch any one of your joints and throw it out. So, this is the Angel Wrestling Federation. It says, this is kind of mysterious. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. When he saw that he with capital H, God, when the angel saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, Jacob's strong. You remember when he removed that stone from the well that it took a whole bunch of people to move? He's a strong fella. So he's wrestling, and he's basically, he's pinning him. He's pinning the Almighty here. And he, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled. Now, that's got to hurt. Now, did God cheat? No, he didn't, because he's God, okay? And he got him in a hip lock, and Jacob starts going, ow, 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 ow. And he said, let me go. Now, this is God talking. Let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Does he? Yeah. Not only that, he changes his name. He changes his name from trickster to he who wrestles with God. He changes his name to Israel. And he blesses him. He doesn't tell him his name. He would tell Moses his name much later. But he's not telling him his name now. He doesn't see that as necessary. And he basically gives him a blessing and a present of a thrown out hip. I will not let you go unless you bless me. This is what the Jews call chutzpah. You know what chutzpah is?
Brass.
Yeah, brass. It gall, you know. So he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. He said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have wrestled, you have struggled with God and with men, and have prevailed. Now, God is not blessing him because he was a trickster and because he, you know, basically ripped Esau off and ripped Laban off and all this. He's blessing him because of Abraham. You have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. Now, why would Jacob want to know his name? Think in terms of the culture of the time. Okay, he could identify to the ones who came behind. There's another reason, though. If somebody knows your name, they have a certain amount of control over you. It's kind of like today, if your boss, somebody who's got power, all right, if you're on a first name basis with him, what does that mean? You've got friendship, and what can you expect from that friendship? You can expect favors, all right? So just like today, if you're on a first-name basis with somebody, in those days, if you knew their name, you had some pull with them, right? Now, Jacob is still kind of a trickster. He wants to know God's name because he wants to call in some favors. That's the background of this, all right? Yeah. Yeah, he does know it's God, and that's going to become evident in a verse that's coming up, all right, because of the context, all right. He said, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, this is the angel, he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him. He said, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. And he blessed him. So he gave Jacob what he was. But he's not telling him his name, all right? So Jacob, look down at verse 30. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, and that means face of God. Peniel, Yael, face of God. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. See? I've seen God face to face. Now, God the Father, no one can see God and live. All right? God the Father, Spirit, He's Spirit. And He's everywhere. God the Holy Spirit is everywhere. But God the Son showed up at the oaks of Mamre as the angel of the Lord. And when He spoke, it says YHWH said. Okay? So this is a pre-incarnate Jesus, I believe. All right? He says, I've seen God face to face and my life is preserved. Just as He crossed over Penuel, face of God, the sun rose on him and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, you know, when they're eating the Passover lamb and stuff like that, which is the hip socket, on the hip socket, because he, God, touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrank. That's just an observation that grew out of this that the people who were reading this would have known. That's why we don't eat that muscle, all right, in the Passover. All right, so what do we make of this? All right, number one, the path of God is not always obstacle-free. We might face obstacles. In fact, we might face obstacles that nobody can meet but God Himself. All right? Number two, remember, God keeps His promises. All right? It doesn't depend on our feelings. It depends on God who keeps His promises. All right? God is faithful. Even if others deceive us, like Jacob did, like Laban did, God is faithful even though others are hostile toward us. God is faithful even though others cause undeserved hardship for us. All right? The point of the matter, the bottom line is this. Jacob grew through all of this. He not only grew in wisdom, but he grew in his relationship with God. He was no longer trickster. He was prince with God. Okay? It's hard to imagine Paul without the scars. It's hard to imagine Jacob without the trials that Jacob had gone through. God had refined him. And what he had was a walk with God. And he has got the makings for a great nation, because each one of those boys becomes head of a tribe of Israel. And Benjamin hadn't been born yet, but he's coming along. Rachel is going to have another one. All right, so God keeps His promises. And that is your guiding star in the new year. God's promises are sure. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the reminder that You keep Your promises, even though humans may lie and they may cheat and they may steal and they might act treacherously, but You are true, and we thank You for Your promises. In Jesus our yea and amen. We know that none of Your promises will fail, and everything that You have said will come to pass. Even those who think to destroy Your order, Your marriage, Your church, are only fulfilling prophecy. And Your word will not return void, but will accomplish what You sent it forth to do. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.